How many people have your Bibles here today? If you have your Bible, raise it above you, stand up underneath it. Amen. You may be seated. We talked to the kids today about seashells, and I tell you, when I go to the beach, there's nothing I like more than just strolling with no agenda, looking for shells and looking for perfect shells. And I'm telling you, with that bag of shells, there were 10 times that many that didn't make the cut. I picked them up, I looked at them, I threw them back down. I was looking for something that was just scalloped and nice looking. And as I began to look, I began to notice that there's not many perfect shells. In other words, I didn't find any perfect shells, none. I could pick out something about every single one of them. But most of the problem was that they were damaged by how rough a life they had. They were damaged by some random storm that came through that they had no influence on. That storm, they couldn't help that storm came. You have to think, those things started way out in the ocean. They were pushed this way by a wave, pulled that way by the tide and by the current and by the undertow. And then as they got to the shore, they slammed together and slammed together. They were chipped and they were bruised. They had holes in them. And I got to thinking, that's just like me. And we faced a lot of things, and I could look back on different situations that I've been in, and each one took like a little chunk out of me, and then life sort of smoothed it back over. You could look at those shells and see that some of the edges used to be sharp, but then after a while they were rounded back off. And that's the way it happens with us, right? We go through a storm, and after we get through the storm, we realize there's a chunk out, but it sort of gets smoothed by the rest of the calming water, and then all of a sudden another chunk gets taken out. And I thought, hey, this is appropriate to tie in with what we've been talking about the last couple of weeks. You know, the last time that I spoke with you was the week before I went on vacation, and we began to talk about ships and nets and storms. Do you remember that sermon? How many people remember that sermon? Everybody raise your hand. Yeah, I remember that sermon. All right. Well, understand that this fits right in because, you know, we spoke about these disciples of Jesus. Now, we realize that they started out not as disciples, but what was their occupation? They were fishermen. We looked in Matthew 4 and we saw Jesus call his disciples, but they weren't disciples yet. They were fishermen. What do fishermen spend a lot of time on? On a boat, right? So we talked about the ship that they were on, and then we talked about the nets that they used, and we looked at Simon, which is called Peter, Simon and his brother Andrew, and when Jesus walked by, he saw them casting their net into the sea. They were on their ship. They were casting their net into the sea. And he called them and he said, come and follow me. And it says they left their nets. And then we see that he went by the boat of James and John. They were on their dad's boat. And they were mending their nets, fixing their nets, mending their nets. Nets get holes in them, right? So we saw a couple of people casting nets, a couple of people mending net, but no matter what, Jesus called them. Now, the interesting thing that we looked at last week is that as fishermen, the one objective that they have every single day is to go out and do what? Not just fish. What's the objective? Catch fish. I've been fishing before, but not catching. Have you? Now, how fun is that to fish and not catch? Oh, well, I'll be the first to tell you. And sometimes I'll go down in October. I love to go down and fish. And that's the time the fish come in. And I've been fishing with several of you that are here. And I can tell you, oh, I had a good time. And people say, well, did you catch any fish? And I'll say, no, I didn't catch any fish, but it was still fun. I'm just saying that. I would have a lot more fun if I was catching fish. It just sounds like the right thing to say, right? I can have fun fishing for a while, but eventually, what do I want to do? I want to catch fish. I don't want to just drown bait. I don't want to just sit out there and look and change the bait and do this and that. I want to catch fish, and I want to catch a bunch of fish, and I want to catch big fish because I'm fishing. But what happened is Jesus came by, and he told these fellas, come follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Now, interesting here. It never said these fellas were catching fish in the net they were casting, did it? They were fishing, but they weren't catching. They were casting that net. Now, if they were catching fish in that net, and Jesus said, come and follow me, and you were them, what do you think you would have said? In a minute? Later? Right now, we're what? We're catching fish. And if he would have walked by and those guys' nets didn't have holes in them, you can imagine they're mending nets and they're sewing those nets together. And as soon as this net is mended, they go here and there's another hole. This is where fish are going to get out. So all day long, they're mending net. All day long, they're casting nets, but nobody's catching fish. That's when Jesus appealed to them. He said, come and follow me and you'll quit chasing your tail in life, basically. Chasing your tail is just something that we get from a dog that goes around and around and gets nowhere, right? You know, that's when more people come to fellowship with the Lord is when they're not catching fish in life. And when they feel like they're just mending their net only to find another hole in life. In other words, those days when you're not catching fish, those are the opportunities to be able to get close to the Lord. Those times when everything in your life is breaking, those are the times when most people leave what they're doing and come to Him. In other words, these bad things that we label bad, those are the times that we end up seeing opportunities that we can come to the Lord and we can have fellowship with Him when on any other day, normally, we would be too busy, we would be preoccupied, or things are just going too good for us. Not many people come to the Lord or come closer to the Lord when you're catching fish. On one of those good days. Now you learn to after you go through enough bad days, right? So when we look at this and compare it to our life, we were able to see that the ship, our ship is our security. There's something in this life that gives you security, isn't it? And it's, for some people, it's their personal vehicle that we center all of our activities around. It may be our education, maybe the sport that we play, maybe a job, maybe your families, could be hobbies, it might be your health, it might be your body. But we tend to do that, right? We pick something, we center all of our focus around it. And none of these things are bad in themselves. But when they become your ship that you refuse to leave to get on Jesus' ship, well, then you're going to go through life chasing your tail with no peace, no happiness, no satisfaction. He's going to ask you the same thing He asked them. Leave your ship, come follow me. Leave your nets. And what are your nets? Well, our nets are, they're our plans. How many of you have went about something in life to say, this is what I want, so I'm going to throw my plan at it. I'm going to go here, and I'm going to get this level of education. I'm going to try to get a job in this area. This job is going to give me this amount of money. With this amount of money, I'm going to buy this kind of house. I'm going to drive this kind of car. I'm going to have security. I'm going to have peace, and there's my happiness. Anybody in here ever have that thought? Raise your hand. Guess what? You threw a net at it. That's what you did. That was your net, your plan. We all do it. Some of us are worse than others, right? Some of us really just keep mending the net when we find out, hey, that plan had a hole in it, that net had a hole in it, that plan had a hole in it, that net had a hole in it. So I've spent most of my life mending nets. Where's the fish? Praise God that I failed, because I don't know how receptive I would have been to jump off of my ship and get onto His. The disciples experienced this same kind of misfortune, and they got on Jesus' ship. We learned in Matthew chapter 8 that they got on a ship with Him, but it was a different kind of ship. It was a ship to get them from one side of the Sea of Galilee to the next side of the Sea of Galilee. So it wasn't a fishing ship. It was a ship of transport. A ship of transport. Now, do you know what you do on a ship of transport? You take a journey on a ship of transport. And do you know that every one of us who thinks that we're on a fishing ship ultimately realize, and hopefully it's not too late, that the ship that you're on is a transport ship. It's to get you from point A to point B. Point A being from wherever we start out a lot of different places, but point B is in the presence of God. And when you get on Jesus' ship, He guarantees you when you get on that ship, you will get into the presence of God. Now, I'm saying all this to be able to bring into context everything that we're going to talk about today, because it's on that journey that we get so stressed sometimes, right? That we get so anxious, we get so afraid, we get so overwhelmed by all the things that are happening. And these fellas got on a ship with Jesus, and all of a sudden a storm arose. And where did they find Jesus? You remember the story. What was he doing? He was sleeping. He was sleeping. And as he was awakened, they said, "There's a storm, Master. We're going to perish." Remember what he told them before he got on the boat. "We're going over here." Now, when he said, "We're going over here," is there any doubt that he's going to get there? And when he says, "We're going over here," if you're with him, is there any doubt you're going to get there? So no matter what storm, no matter how bad it is, they needed to know that they were going to get to the destination. Their journey was going to take them to where he said their journey was going to go through. So what if you have a storm on your journey? You're in Jesus's boat. So he says, "Oh, you of little faith." And I'm thinking as I'm listening to that, okay, listen, these fellows left their livelihood. They left their fishing boats. How could they be of little faith? They were of little faith because in the midst of the storm, even though they chose to go with Jesus, in the midst of the storm, they had no confidence. No confidence. Is that a big deal? We're going to be able to see today that it is a big deal. I'm convinced that God does not want us to be able to be that person who is shuddering in our boat as the storms of life hit us. If we're in his boat, then we need to have that faith that says, "He told me this is my ship of destination, my journey boat. Yes, I acknowledge I'm in a storm right now, but I'm in a storm with Jesus." Why is that important? Because he told me if I got in his boat, that he would never leave me. He would never forsake me. That's a promise, right? So at what point did I start doubting that? He told me that I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will, not might, not may, but I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Is that a promise? That's a promise he made. That's a promise you have to call on in the storm. But you have to sit and think right now. Am I really in his boat, first of all? Because if you're in his boat, that confidence would be there at some point, right? The second thing is, if I got on his boat, but I keep looking back at my own boat, did I take my own nets onto his boat? Do I forget I'm on a journey boat, or do I still think I'm on a fishing boat? Lord, give me this. Lord, give me this. Lord, give me this. And we call those blessings. Are they really blessings? I'm convinced that a lot of times when we hit these storms like they did, they're the blessings. Turn to Acts chapter 27, if you would, please. You see, our storms come in many different ways. Some of us have storms that come in the way of health problems. Some of them are financial problems. Some of them are relationship problems. Maybe a marriage problem. Maybe it's a child problem. A child's broke your heart, or a child's done something, and all of a sudden there's a storm in your life as a parent. Sometimes we lose loved ones, and here's a storm that's come. Sometimes it's job security. It could be any of those things. And we realize we're in a storm. Can I get a witness? Anybody in here ever been in a storm in life? Amen. We do. We get in them. So wouldn't it be good to know a little about those storms? You see, we have to remember, if we've accepted Jesus as our Savior, then we've entered his ship. We're on a journey with him. He'll deliver us through the storm. I want you to tell somebody beside of you, he will deliver us through the storm. Now, that was easy to say, right? How easy is that to apply? We can say it easily, but how easy is it for us to apply? The last time we talked about several storms, and I didn't get to talk about the last one, so I want to recap the first two. The first storm that we go through are storms of perfection. Do you remember that? Storm of perfection. What is a storm of perfection? Is it a storm? Yes. Can it be a bad storm? Yes, but a storm of perfection, these storms make us better Christians. They stretch our faith. They cause us to depend on God, and then we see His power because we become more complete Christians. What do you mean? This is a storm in life that happens to you that you don't ask for. It's just something that happens, and in the midst of it, you run out of your own answers. You run out of your own means. You run out of your own options, and you say, well, hey, what am I going to do now? Well, hey, this plan didn't work. This net had holes in it. This net had holes in it. I don't know what I'm going to do. And all of a sudden, you fall on your knees, and you say, God, I'm miserable. I have no other plans. Help me. And so you draw close to God. You become more complete, more perfect as a Christian. None of us are ever going to be perfect till we get to heaven, but understand perfection means it perfects you as a Christian. In other words, it makes you need God. It's a storm that makes you need God. In other words, you go through life and you begin to not pray as much. All of a sudden, you're not at church real frequently, and this comes in the way, and that comes in the way, and I don't really remember the last time I really sat down and read the Bible, not for duty, but just to say, I want to see what God has to say to me, and all of a sudden, something happens to you, and you find yourself all the time praying. You say, well, I'm praying because I'm in such a bad storm. Well, that storm must be good. It's got you praying. And I'm reading my Bible, and I wasn't reading my Bible, but I just want to get close to God because, God, I'm out of resources, I'm out of means, and I'm dependent on You. That's a storm of perfection. We don't ask for them. Nobody would write that story for themselves. God, let me go through some hard times. But it's a storm of perfection. Then there's storms of correction. Storm of correction. These kind of storms are storms of discipline. A storm of discipline. Hebrews 12:6 says, for whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. You know what chasteneth means? He punishes. Every good parent, if they love their children, would have to implement punishment to their children if their children do wrong, if they want their children to be able to advance and know right from wrong and be able to stay away from wrong. They have to say, no, you don't do that. Here's the punishment. A storm of correction is that way for us. Well, what do you mean? Well, storms of correction happen whenever we choose to do something that God doesn't want us doing, or we continually do it. Maybe there's an open sin in our life, and this can happen to Christians and non-Christians. See, a storm of perfection is not something that can happen to someone who's not a Christian, because it's just to make the Christian stronger. A storm of correction can happen to the unsaved and the saved, because a storm of correction can happen to the saved person to be able to say, hey, listen, you know this is wrong because the Holy Spirit keeps telling you that it's wrong, but you continually push God's word aside and you're living in that open sin. So guess what's going to happen? You're going to have a storm in life. You say, would God let something like that happen to me? Yes, He loves you. He would have a storm of correction. A storm of correction is when your feet are knocked out from under you and you realize, hey, I can't have anything. This is going wrong. This is going wrong. And you have to stop and say, I've got to change something. I've got to correct my ways. That's a gracious storm of correction. And it happens to people that are lost and have never accepted the Lord, because as long as they think the world is going to give them everything they want and they live in that sin and there's no penalty for it, there's no correction for it, there's no storm, they probably won't leave that. Do you realize the largest majority of people that accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, they don't do it in the happiest time of their life. They do it when the bottom has been knocked out of their life. They do it when their heart is broken. They do it when they have no other options. They do it when they find out that the way that they're living, which is not the way of God, is wrong. And they say, God, like the publican did, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. But the storm that we need to talk about today is this last storm. It's a storm of direction. This storm is a storm that happens to come into your life and you can't understand why. And I think a lot of us are facing these storms of direction, but we don't know what they're called. We don't know a whole lot about them. So I want to talk about them today because I think the Bible is intentional in being able to show us a storm of direction. Now, I've experienced storms of correction. I've experienced storms of perfection. But I think God will continually give us storms of direction. It's that time when you think, hey, I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, God. I mean, here I am, and You tell me to do this. I'm doing this. Why in the world am I still in a storm? I'm a Christian. Why am I still in a storm? Do you realize it could be the best storm of your life because it's a storm of direction? Well, what do you mean a storm of direction? Let me explain. Do you know that sometimes God puts us in a position to be with others while they're going through storms so that we can be that voice in the storm that they need to hear? That voice of direction. When I break your heart, this is what God revealed to me. Everything's not about you, Mike. That storm you're going through, it ain't about you. You're called to be something in the middle of that storm, and that's a voice of direction. But if you don't have confidence in the storm, if you're like those disciples that are saying, wake up, you're going to perish, you're going to perish, guess what? You're not being a voice of direction in the storm. This is a storm of direction, a chance for you to give somebody direction. You're pulled into this storm because you're my child. And I need you to represent me. I need you to come up out of the bottom of the boat. I need you to be able to say, hey, God told us we're going to get to the other side. Hey, whose boat are you in? That's that voice of direction that you need to be. The voice that says, trust God. The voice that says, cry out to God right now. The voice that says, don't panic. Don't be afraid. I look around today at the majority of Christian people and I see a panic. God doesn't want us to panic. Who's going to follow you if you're panicking? I definitely am not ever going to follow somebody that's panicking, are you? But God asks us to be that voice. Are we going through storms now in our country? Are you going through storms with your relationships? Are you going through storms in school systems? Are you going through storms? Yes! Well, should we sit and just talk about how bad the storm is? No, you're a voice of direction. It's a storm of direction. It's a privilege to be a voice in a storm of direction. That voice that says, stay in Jesus' ship. You see, we see this throughout the Bible, but no clear example. And we didn't get to talk about it last week. I mentioned it, but I want to show you this beautiful story in the Bible. And it's a story about Paul. It's in Acts 27. I ask you to turn there. I want to read this to you today because it's an amazing story. And I see Paul, and we find Paul on a ship that's headed to Rome. And for all of you that went through the Acts Bible study, I mean, we're not going to go through all those different chapters that got him to Rome because it would take 2 years. But Paul's headed to Rome. He's been beaten. He's been stoned. He's been cast out of cities. He's been mocked. He's been whipped. He has suffered some storms, hasn't he? But in the midst of that, he got to witness to all the religious leaders, to King Felix, to Festus, to Agrippa, to all those people. And now he is on the way to the emperor of Rome, Caesar, to stand in front of him to be on trial because they can't figure out what to do with this man, Paul. He's faced so many storms. And so to get him there, they put him in a boat. It was just a grain boat. It was from the Alexandrian fleet. And what they did was they would have these big boats that would ship grain from here to here. And on this boat with Paul was a centurion, which was one of the Romans' finest soldiers. And his job was to get Paul from point A to point B. You can pretty well say that this ship was, even though it was a cargo ship, it was a ship of transport. Like the ship that we're on, right? Some people thought it was a cargo ship, but it was a ship of transport to get Paul from here to here. But along with Paul, there were 275 other people on this ship. Some were prisoners, some were sailors, some were the captain. One was the centurion. They were all making this journey. But the ship ran into a storm. The Bible calls in the King James a euricyclone. That's just a word we wouldn't know what it means. We would think a nor'easter, a terrible storm on the water. High winds, hurricane force winds. And as they ran into this storm, I want you to listen to Paul in this context. I want you to listen to him and his voice in the storm, okay? I want you to read with me. Are you Acts 27? Acts 27. We're going to begin reading. Verse 13. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called a euricyclone. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up to the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, We had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship, fearing lest they should fall into the quicksand, strake sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. It was a bad, bad storm, so bad that they undergirded the ships, which means they put ropes underneath the hull of the ship because they thought the ship was going to fall apart. They basically tied the ship together. They girded it together. When you get to verse 19, it says, "And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship." Pretty amazing. And I want to show you something that's happening here. Can I? They were in a storm like we are. And it says the third day they began to cast out the tackling of the ship. Now you have to read the next verse to find out why. And this is Luke writing this. Luke was in the ship with him, and Luke was a Christian. It says, "And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away." Have you ever been in that storm that you thought would never end? That storm where you kept getting beaten by the wind and beaten by the wind, and your ship of life was getting tossed and tossed, and all of a sudden you realize, "I need to start throwing things out of my ship that you never would have thrown out." In other words, you hit a storm in your life that a week before it, you would have never thought this is the most important thing, because you were thinking about this and you were thinking about that, and you were stressing about your income, you were stressing about this, but all of a sudden something more precious than that was on the line and you didn't care what it was about. It was about this. Has that ever happened to you? Let me tell you what you start doing. You start throwing stuff out of your ship. This isn't important. This isn't important. This isn't important. When it happens in a marriage, I've been with people where there's no worse feeling in the world. That person walks around every day thinking, "This person is not with me. Nothing else in the world matters. I carry this around in my stomach. It burns in me every day." When a child of some parents have gone astray or done something, that parent carries it around. Nothing else is important. Not the car they drive, not the house they live in. They would go to poverty if they could have their child embraced in their arms and love them. I've seen people in storms throw stuff overboard because they realize all hope is lost. I have nothing. I want what's important to me. Funny thing about storms. All these people, it said all hope is lost. Hey guys, these are experienced fishermen on this boat. You say, "What do you mean?" They don't fish. They sail a boat for a living. The sailors, all hope was lost. Must have been a bad storm. Must have been like those disciples when they said, "Lord, save us, we perish." All hope was lost. What we need is a voice like Jesus to come up from beneath and be able to say, "Hey, God's got this. Whose boat are you on? Whose boat are you on? Whose boat are you on? Whose boat are you on?" But these people, well, they were lost. How do you tell somebody, "Hey, God's got this"? Well, you see, that's where Paul comes in. He was a voice in the storm of direction. Watch what he does with his opportunity. It says in verse 22, "But after a long absence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, 'Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of this ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheers, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me." A couple of key things right here that you really need to see. You see, the severity of the storm started causing all these men to lose hope. Paul hadn't been around. You didn't read anything about Paul screaming, right? You didn't read anything about him saying how bad the storm was. It said after a long absence. That means he's been away. He hasn't said anything. He's just been a passenger on the ship. He finds himself in a storm where he could have said, "God, I'm trying to do your work. Why am I going to be shipwrecked here?" But he didn't, did he? You know what he said? "Hey, listen. Now that all of you are losing hope and you have something that you want to hear, let me tell you, I come to you to speak on behalf of my Lord and Savior." Listen to this. "Whose I am and whom I serve." Right? That just clarified it right there. He said, I'm not smart enough to know this. He had already made a comment that was a little bit of Paul coming out that first verse. It says, I told you not to sail, right? But then he comes back and he says this. I come on behalf of the Lord. And here's my message to you. Be of good cheer. Well, don't you know a bunch of prisoners that were on the boat with him and a bunch of sailors said, who are you, Mr. Johnny Sunshine, coming up in here telling us to be of good cheer? Do you not see the storm that we're in? But Paul said this. He said, hey, I come to represent who I am and whom I serve. And guess what? The angel of the Lord stood beside me and told me this. You will get to where you're going. Not one person will be lost. But the ship you're going to lose. Oh my. How many of us would not be willing to give up the ship that we think is going to take us to where we're going to go in order to be saved? You say, not me, not me. It wouldn't matter to me if the ship was going to be lost if I knew I was going to be saved, really. You know, I look at myself and I ask you to look at yourself. How many times is it that your fear and worry comes about those things that are your ship? That plan you have for yourself, the vehicle that you think is going to take you to happiness, success. Makes me think about what ship I'm really on. I mean, think about it. Have I fretted and dreaded and obsessed and had anxious moments thinking about what if I don't get to be at church for 3 weeks in a row? What if I don't get to read my Bible? What if I don't get to hear the gospel? Have I fretted about that as much as I have thinking about missing a couple of things that, well, they really had to do with my ship? A good way to realize it is when you compare what you have with God to those things of the world, would you worry as much if your thing with God was taken away as you do if something else was taken away? My income was taken away, it'd be the worst thing in the world. If my health was taken away, it'd be the worst thing in the world. Then that is your God. God says, I have to be first. You say, well, are all those other things bad? Absolutely not. He gives you those other things. But understand, you're on a boat of journey. I'm on a boat of journey to get from here to there. When you arrive there, you won't arrive with anything. No possessions. Nothing. But you will arrive. And during the journey, all those storms, they will chip you up just like those seashells. Some of us will meet in fortunate times of the tide where it will bang you around and bang you around. But then when we stand in front of God, Jesus Christ Himself, who picks up seashells, we will be made perfect. What a picture, right? But will you have to face storms? Yes. And the storm that you face might be a storm of direction. I have to continue on because the story gets even better. You see, it says, after be of good cheer, it went on. When the 14th night was come, well, you see, this was after the third night. He said, when the 14th night was come, so 11 more nights, 11 more days of this storm. We were driven up and down the Adriatic. About midnight, the shipmen deemed that they drew near some country, and they sounded and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. And fearing lest that we should falling upon the rocks, they cast forth four anchors from the stern and wished for the day. And as the shipmen were ready to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat in the sea under the color that they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and others, except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. Very important here. The storm got worse. A lot of people are under the idea that, hey, I'm going to turn my life over to God. I'm never going to face any storms. The storm got worse. 11 more days. And here this guy, Paul, was saying, be of good cheer. And all of a sudden, man came up with his plan again, and they threw four anchors out of the stern. That's the back of the boat. And they hoped for the day. Just let it get daylight. Let it get daylight. And the sailors that were on the boat, they said, hey, listen, we're going to go cast some anchors out of the other side. It says under the color. That means under the blanket being deceptive. They went and they said they were going to cast anchors, but they started letting down the little boat. They were going to escape the boat. And Paul stood up again and said, hey, listen, this ain't the way the plan works. If you don't stay on the boat, you don't get saved. I've already told you, God said, you will get from here to here. Yes, you're in a storm, but you're going to arrive at your destination. Now think about this. You think at this point, well, what's up with these guys? Well, they don't believe. They just don't believe. And you know what happens when you don't believe? The storm has to get worse. Did you hear that? When you don't believe, the storm has to get worse. I've told sometimes when I'm talking to my children, other young people, and as they get older and they meet these storms in life and they're storms of correction, they have an opportunity to turn their life over to God. It's easy to see because I went through these, and it's like this. Okay, this right here is where you're at. This is the top. This is where you're at. You can choose to let that be your correction, or you can choose a new bottom. Your new bottom may be down here. And if that doesn't work, you choose a new bottom. It depends on how low you want to go. They're doing the life limbo with God. I want you to notice something pretty specific in these verses. I want you to notice that they were being instructed by that voice of direction, Paul, who was someone who was used to suffering storms. I'm not going to go there, but if you want to reference 2 Corinthians 11, 23 through 28, it'll tell you about all of Paul's suffering, all of his beatings, all of his stonings. He was experienced at storms, yet he was that voice in the storm. Now get this. It says, then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat. They all were going to stay on this boat. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them to take meat, saying, this day is the 14th day, and you've tarried and continued fasting and have taken nothing. Wherefore, I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health, for there shall not one hair fall from the head of you. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then were they all of good cheer, and they all took some meat. And they were all that were in the ship, 276 souls. 276 souls. Out of 276 souls, there was a prisoner named Paul that was drug on that ship in shackles, and he was put in his place. And you would definitely say that he was going through a storm in life because he was going to be taken before Caesar. And he had gone through storm after storm. But God had told him the same things that he tells me and you. He's like, if you stay with me on my ship, I will get you to your destination. It's a journey. It's a journey. Your ship is a ship of journey. And here this prisoner, not the captain of the boat, not the centurion who was the decorated soldier that was on the boat, not these other sailors who were the experienced sailors on the boat, not these prisoners who were the vile people who would say, hey, they're not scared of anybody. The one person that had authority on that whole boat was a man named Paul. And you know why he had authority? Because he had God's authority. He was the voice of direction in 275 other people's storm. How about that? Paul could have said at that time, hey, God, look what I've been doing to you now. Really? Really? On the way to Rome, I'm going to be beat to pieces in a boat and I'm going to drown out in the middle of the sea. And God said, no, I'm going to accomplish something with you. That's what he's telling me and you as Christians. The storm that you're in might be somebody else's storm. It might just be a storm that you have a chance to be that voice of direction. So many times we want so much for our life. Our net, our plan that we throw out there says, okay, let me go and do this so I can achieve this. And this is my goal in life. And this is what I want to grow up to be. And we forget that the most privileged, precious thing that you can do with your life is to impact somebody else's. You say, I want my child to grow up to be a ball player. I want my child to grow up to be a businessman. I want my child to grow up to be successful. I want him to grow up to do this and be profitable and this and that. I want my child to grow up to help somebody else change their life. That's what I want my child to do. Is there anything more beneficial than helping somebody else? You say, well, how do you get that? Let's look at Jesus' life. What was his life about? His life was about changing other people's lives. He was the literal voice of direction in the boat of the disciples, right? When you leave this earth, do you think you'll get accredited to what you've gained on this earth? What will it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his own soul? Do you think it will be accredited to you how famous you were? What kind of notoriety that you have? What you own, what you drive, what you wear? Do you think it will be accredited to you? Or will it be accredited to you that that person will be able to say, hey, thank you, you came to me in the storm. Thank you, you came to me in the storm. Thank you, you came to me in the storm. Thank you for that voice in the storm. Thank you for that voice in the storm. Who do you think will be the most blessed person? A person like Paul in the boat. He wasn't panicking. He had an air of confidence that said, God's going to get us through. Now listen, because this is key. Listen to the way that they arrived. He says, as we continue the story, when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship. They cast out the wheat into the sea. This is after Paul gave thanks to God. So he said, God's in control. We're going to thank him for this food. After they ate, they threw all the food away. When it was day, they knew. They knew not the land, but they discovered a certain creek in the shore into which they were minded, if it were possible, to thrust into ship. You see, panic had set in. When they took soundings, you remember where we read about they took soundings? You know what soundings are? Soundings are to tell how deep the water is. You say, well, why didn't they use a depth finder? That was a depth finder. You didn't plug it in. You just had a rope with something on the end. And you let it down, you let it down, you had your rope marked so you knew, okay, the water's this deep. Well, they took a sounding, and the sounding said that it was 20 fathoms deep. A fathom is 6 feet thereabout. So the water was 120 feet deep. Then they took another sounding in a minute, and the water was 15 fathoms, which means it was 90 feet deep. So if you go from 120 to 90 feet, you know that the rocks are approaching, and a ship, it's not good for a ship to hit rocks. I don't know if you know a lot about nautical things, but a ship doesn't like to hit rocks, right? So they took these soundings. All of a sudden, the panic grows worse. The panic grows worse. So they were praying for the day. They were praying for the day. And all of a sudden, the day broke, and they saw this little area, this little piece of land as they were getting close. And so they cut the anchors, they threw up the sail, and they sailed toward it. But what happened? The ship got buried in a sandbar. And as the ship got buried in a sandbar, the literal storm and water beat the back of the boat completely apart. And the ship was going down. They were going to sink. Listen to what happens. It says, and falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the forepart stuck fast and remained immovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land. And the rest, some on boards, some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped. Listen to this. Listen to the statistic. All safe to land. If God were to tell you, you will make it on your journey, but you will lose your ship, would you still be willing to go on the journey? We say we would, but that's a hard spot to be in, right? Our ship's our security. Listen, I think it's pretty neat here. I mean, it's written specifically in this way. It says here at the end that the centurion told all those that could swim, jump and swim to shore. Paul had already told them they were going to make it, right? And they were going to lose the boat. So if they had faith, then they were thinking, this is working just like God's plan, just like God's plan. We're going to make it to the shore. I'm going to swim. Hey, I'm going to do the backstroke. Hey, I'm going to do the butterfly, right? That's how they could have approached the storm. No matter what, we're going to make it. the others that couldn't swim? Do you know that the Bible says, and this is pretty neat, listen, let me read it to you. It says, and the rest, some on boards, some on broken pieces of the ship. Do you know the ones that couldn't swim? Just hung on. Hung on to part of the ship. Well, what is the ship here? Jesus says, I'm in this ship. Paul said, Jesus and the presence of God is in this ship. You say, is that applicable to our lives? Absolutely. Listen, I've been to the place in my life having to trust God, and all I had was a broken piece of the ship to hang on to. Something that had a little bit of hope. Yeah. Guess what? God will get you to where He's going to take you to. And those storms that you face, those storms are just part of life. Those storms are going to be there. There is no promise in the Bible that tells you that you're not going to have storms. I gave you this verse, 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, there's no temptation taking you, but such is common to man. But listen, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able to bear. But will also with that temptation make for you a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. There is no storm that God cannot speak to. There is no storm that God cannot get you to the shore in. Either He'll give you strength or ability to swim, or you can jump up and find a board to hang on to. Pretty cool stuff. You see, Paul's purpose was to give direction in the storm. Our job as Christians is to give direction in the storm. Is our job any different than Paul's? No. Our storms are different, though. What is that storm that's got you all worried and full of anxiety? I mean, I look at the disciples and I think, guys, you're in the boat with Jesus. But yeah, I look at my life and I said, hey, I've been in the boat with Jesus and I've been panicking and freaking out and stressed out and full of anxiety and thinking and occupying all of my mind. And here I've driven an hour down the road and I've been thinking about this problem. All I've been doing is fixing my net. I should have said, I'm in the boat with Jesus. What am I worried about? What kind of confidence can I display to anybody else if I'm sitting here always trying to think, I got to do something. You been there? And I've been that voice that had an opportunity to give direction in a storm, but I was sitting here trying to remind people of stuff they didn't think of. Well, you know what else is bad? What kind of confidence is that? I'm supposed to be that voice that stands up and said, God said I'm on a journey with Him. I signed up some years ago and I stepped on His ship. He said, I'll get you from point A to point B. He didn't promise I wouldn't have any storms. He said, I'll give you an opportunity to give direction in the storm. So I need to check my storms. If I'm going through a storm of correction, there's something I need to correct. If I'm going through a storm of perfection, I'm going to get closer to God. And if I'm going through a storm of direction, then I'm going to have an opportunity to impact somebody else's life. Glory to God. What's so bad about storms? I want to close by giving you this passage of Scripture in a seldomly read book by a minor prophet named Nahum. Nahum chapter 1. Listen to verse 7. The Lord is God, a stronghold in the days of trouble, and He knoweth them that trust in Him. Now, this is sobering because I read this verse, and this verse was what started this whole sermon and sermon prep, so I'm giving it to you here at the end. Listen to it. Nahum 1:7, the Lord is God, a stronghold in the day of trouble. Are you going to have days of trouble? Answer me, are you? Would we be so naive as to think we wouldn't have days of trouble? But listen, the Lord is God, a stronghold in the days of trouble. A stronghold means a safe place. But here's the sobering thing, and He knoweth them that trust in Him. What does God know about you? What does He know about me? As far as it relates to storms. Think about it. He knows who trusts Him in days of trouble. Have you had trouble? You said you did, right? What else does He know about you? Are you that person? Because He knows you, remember. Are you the person that He knows is going to be confident in the storm? Are you the person that's going to declare His power? Are you the person of faith that says, hey, God said we'll get through it. Yes, it's a storm in life. All things are not going to work out the way we want them to work out in life, but God is going to deliver us from here to here. Are you that person that claims the same thing that Paul claimed? You say, well, Paul was unrealistic. Paul was a champion of God. Paul changed lives. Paul was the voice of direction in a storm. It's not always the most popular voice. When you go to those you love and you say, hey, listen, you need to do this because God wants you to do it. I'm going to hold you accountable. That's not the most popular voice. But you know what? Your voice is going to become a little bit more receptive when the storm gets worse in their life. They're going to be wanting to listen to you. What were you saying? What were you saying? God, help us not to get to a worse storm before that voice seems clear. So where are you? Where am I at? I had to look at myself too. I can look back and I see many storms of correction. I have to praise God for those storms of correction. Those things that I labeled bad when they happened, it's bad. I look back on and I think, thank God. Thank you, God, for taking that thing away from me and showing me that I'm going to fail doing that. Thank you, because that's where I found you. Storms of perfection, where I have to say, God, that was a terrible situation. I didn't have any answers. I turned to you and you gave me that peace, and now I look and see your miracle that happened. Thank you, Lord, for that storm of perfection. And the storm of direction, that's where I have a lot of regrets. I can look back at the storms in life and realize that I was in a spot to be able to give direction and I didn't. I don't want there to be another one where I don't. What about you? Today, I challenge you as Christians to come and pray to God to ask Him to give you that strength, that boldness, that confidence to be able to speak as you see storms in others' lives, as you see storms in your life. And I'm saying your friends, your coworkers, your family, your children, your husbands, your wife, be that voice of direction that speaks on behalf of God, reassuring that, yes, you will get to where you're going on your journey for God. All of us will. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That's a promise, isn't it? I'm going to get there. So it should make me look at the storms in life and be able to say, hey, listen, yeah, I'm in this, but I know where I'm going. You say that's unrealistic. That's faith. And when we start looking at that, guess what? We can all be a little bit more Johnny Sunshine, can't we? Christians should not be a group of people that panic, that fall to pieces. Are bad things going to happen? They are. Is it wrong for us to get upset? No, initially we can, but then we have to remember whose boat we're on. And if you're in this room today and you've never got on His boat, you've never experienced the peace that He will give you of knowing that no matter what, He's in control of the wind, the waves. He's in control of every storm. The storm that you're going through might be a storm that's supposed to get you to Him. And you can get to Him today by being able to acknowledge that He's greater than you are and that you're a sinner. And you accept God's gift of Jesus Christ that died on a cross for His blood to cover your sins so that you could come into the presence of God. You invite Him to be Lord of your life. He'll come into your heart today. You'll step onto His ship. And you'll have that feeling of safety and security. Amen. Pray with me. Father God, I love you so much, and I thank you for this opportunity just to share your word today. I thank you, Lord, for your mercy, your grace, and just another chance, Lord, to be able to hear your words, your story. I pray, God, today as we look at the storms in our life and we realize that graciously you give us those storms of correction, the storms of perfection, but Lord, let us be bold enough and confident enough, Lord, to be able to change lives as a voice of direction in a storm of direction. I pray if there's anyone here that's lost, they would see their need for salvation today, Lord. They would step off their ship and step into yours. Follow Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.